I crawled forwards to get a better view of the desolate rocky landscape at the foot of the slope. Wavy brown fronds grew from the red sand, but they seemed more like wool than plants. The misery got confused about what used to be what, but the clumps of false vegetation provided a bit of cover for me to lie in. I took out my scope and twisted it, focused on the troop ahead, made a quick count, didn't like what I saw. A troop of drudge and a train of spare mounts and baggage approached from what was currently the east. Neither the Grand Alliance nor the Drudge sent soldiers this deep into the misery, not until the last couple of months, as the magic rose thick here, soft and malleable. It drew the big things, or maybe they were born here, where the reek of poisoned energy soured the stagnant air with its chemical tang. The first patrol to come this way might have been lost, the second might have been lost too, the third had found me, and three patrols was too many. A quick count said 30 Drudge. "What are you going to do?" Nen asked. She rubbed at her guts, as though she were tempted to slice them open and see what lay beneath the skin. Sometimes she did. Sometimes it didn't make me sick. You can grow used to anything if you live with it long enough. I was living testimony to that. "I'll do what I always do," I said, although Nen wouldn't remember. Ghosts had no capacity to learn. I eased my matchlock from its canvas bag. There wasn't much about me that wasn't shabby and fraying, but I kept the gun in good working order. She came out to be fired and got wrapped when she wasn't needed. I bit the end from a powder charge, poured, tamped, spat. I only had 3 matchlock balls left. How long had it been since I'd been back to town to resupply? I couldn't remember. But for what I had in mind, 1 shot would be enough. The Drudge patrol were of a new breed. Drudge came in a lot of shapes and forms, from the swollen brides to the waxy grey-skinned fighting drudge, but these had a bluish tint to their skin, and little of their former humanity remained. Through the scope, even at this distance, I could make out the lack of facial features and the smooth planes of glistening flesh. Their eyes were wide black orbs, mouths little more than slits, noseless. They rode in a tight formation on shaggy four-legged beasts that no dortish scholar had named. They were taken from some distant conquered land, heavy-bodied and slow. I called them Herks, after the noise they made. The Drudge had heavy crossbows and lances, good armor, blades and hammers, well-equipped, and they were hunting me. There was nothing else out here to find. I fixed the scope over my matchlock's barrel. There weren't many scopes like mine in the world. Maybe no others at all. Malden had worked some of his art on it so that it adjusted itself for distance and recoil. I had no idea how that worked, but it had turned me from an average shot to a match for any sharpshooter. I sought out the right target. The leader was easy to identify. He wore more prayer strips around his muscular arms than the others, dozens of the things hanging down to display his faith in red and black ink. His face was corpse blue and as blank as the rest of them, but he had a mark stamped on his breastplate in gold leaf. Deep King Acradius's mark, a slaver's brand worn like a medal. I sighted between the captain's eyes, then tracked on. I could kill him, but there'd be a second to take his place, and I'd only got 1 shot off. I had to make it count. I found my target in the middle of the plodding column. He was slighter than the warriors around him, warped differently. There was still a remnant of humanity about him, in the nose, lips, hair. He wore antiquated, lavishly decorated bronze armor, a mark of honor from his master. I couldn't be certain that my matchlock had the power to punch through it at this range. He was probably the least dangerous in the whole column, but he was the one that would make a difference. It was the instrument that he carried that singled him out. An astrolabe for measuring lunar positioning, a tangle of brass wheels and lenses thick and thin. He was the navigator, who used the device to take readings from the moons, the only things constant enough in the misery to plot a course by.
"You'll only get 1 shot," Nen said. "They'll hear it."
"Thanks. That hadn't occurred to me," I said. "What do you care, anyway?" She grinned and shrugged. I hated Nen's ghost. I knew she wasn't real, but I couldn't help but respond as though it were the woman I'd known. I hated that too. I got my match cord glowing, ready to fire the flash pan. The acrid smell greeted me, an old familiar friend. I breathed it in. I barely noticed the sourness of the misery air anymore. Something else that I'd adjusted to, given enough time. And I'd given it time. I'd given it 6 years.
"You think they'll come kill you when you shoot?" Nen asked.
"They'll try.